You all, my name is Byron Schaffner, and some of you may know me, some of you may not. I am the English pastor at Carrollton Chinese Church. I'm big into comics, deep into movies, but my first and foremost passion is Christ and the gospel. We're going to be together for quite some time this weekend, and I'm hoping I get to know a little bit more about you. You get to know a little bit more about me. Hope we get to talk it up about the scriptures, about the lessons. We can even talk about Star Wars Rogue One, which was a phenomenal movie, in my opinion. Loved it. So let's pray, and then we're going to dive right into it. Let's pray. Father, tonight we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, God, for allowing us to be here. Thank you for getting us here safely. Thank you for allowing everyone to be here. And I just ask in the name of Jesus that you would forgive us for any and all sin. You would cleanse our hearts and our minds, open our hearts, open our minds by your Spirit so that we can hear from you and understand what you want us to know during this retreat. I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, not only will you deal with us as a whole, but you will deal with us individually. And I pray in the name of Jesus that during this time that we all, including myself, will take a closer look at our relationship with you, where we stand with you, how we are being faithful to you, how we are not being faithful to you. And I pray in Jesus' name that as you deal with us by your Spirit from your word, God, that you would move us to make life-changing decisions in this retreat. And I pray in Jesus' name more than anything that if there is anyone here who has not bowed their knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would make that decision during this retreat, Lord. So, Father, I give myself fully to you. There's only one teacher, and that is the Holy Spirit. Father, I yield myself to you. I ask that you remove me from self, fill me with your Spirit. And, Lord, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I was talking to Brian and I was asking him, first of all, it was crazy getting this whole thing together. Brian had communicated with me. I communicated with him. He sent some emails. I didn't get them and all this kind of stuff. But God brought everything together. And when I asked him the other night, I said, "What's the theme?" And he said, "Reconnect." And you all, as I was driving in tonight, getting so frustrated with my GPS. If my GPS was a person, I'd probably kick her out of the car. Because, I mean, it took me everywhere. It took me forever to get here. But as I was driving, I was thinking, and God started to deal with me. The Lord started to show me some stuff, and I want to show you something in Scripture. Go to 1 Samuel. If you have a Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And you all, let me say this, and I want to make this very plain. First Samuel chapter 4, and we're going to look at the whole chapter. And normally I don't read whole chapters when I'm teaching, but we're going to read it tonight. And as you're going there, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to hear me. You all, there are a lot of people who go to church but are still not connected to God. There are a lot of people who read scripture, serve in ministry, but personally don't have a strong connection with God. And my prayer for you and my prayer for me is, as we go through this weekend, that we really examine our connection with God. Now, let me say this. I was at a hotel not too long ago, and I had my laptop, and I opened my laptop, and I was in a rush, and I opened my laptop. And my laptop came on, the light came on, the screen came on, and I went to try to type, and nothing would happen. Went to try to type, nothing would happen. And the reason why nothing happened is because even though I opened my laptop and I turned it on, I wasn't connected to the Wi-Fi. I had power, and it was on, but I wasn't connected. There are many people, many Christians, who've accepted Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, claim Jesus Christ as Lord, And they will tell you that they are Christians, but in their everyday private life, somehow they've lost their connection. And let me say this. There are two things that I want to stress tonight. There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Brian, can I borrow you right quick? Relationship and fellowship. Let me show you something on this side of them real quick. If Brian and I are friends, what's up, dog? Yeah. If Brian and I are friends, and let's say we are best friends, we have a relationship called friendship. All right, man. We are friends. And if we are best friends, we have a tight bond. So the name of our relationship is friendship. But let's say I do something to him that offends him so deeply that we don't speak for an entire year. Now, if you ask me, is he my friend? I'll say yes. Let's say you ask him the same thing. He says yes, but watch this. Though we are friends and we have the relationship of friendship, we're no longer in fellowship. So watch this. Nothing is more agonizing to have a friendship with someone, but something has happened to the fellowship. When you accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you entered into a very tight relationship with God. And you can't lose that. That's salvation. That's your relationship with God. But relationship and fellowship are two different things. And there are a lot of Christians who, though they have a relationship with God, due to the decisions that they are making in their private life and things that they are doing, yeah, they still have a relationship, but not in fellowship. Sin breaks our fellowship with God. We're still in relationship. But what about the fellowship? Let me say something. Relationship is one thing, but your intimacy with God is not in the relationship, that's in the fellowship. How well you hear God is not in the relationship, it's in the fellowship. How you sense God and your closeness to God and how your life awakens to God is not in the relationship, it's in the fellowship. Transformation is not in the mere relationship, it's in the fellowship. And God loves us all the same. So what's your name, brother? Derek. So watch this. Watch this. You got Brian, Byron, and Derek. Let's say we all are in Christ. God loves us all the same. God loves the man under the bridge wearing Mismatch socks who doesn't know his name. God loves him just as much as he loves me, and vice versa. But watch this. If Brian and Derek obey God faithfully, and I follow God half-heartedly, and there are certain blessings that come in their life that don't come into my life, it's not because God loves them more, but God honors faithfulness. We all have a relationship, but their fellowship is stronger. Does that make sense? Thank you. First Samuel chapter 4. Now, before we read this, let me say this. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, when Samuel is called as a young boy, Samuel is called by the Lord, and he's to be a prophet to the nation. And Samuel is being raised by this spiritually by his mentor, Eli. Now, Eli has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Watch this. Pay close attention to this. Hophni and Phinehas are two of his sons that are in ministry. They're in the temple. They're doing ministry. But inside, in a lot of their secret dealings, they are very corrupt. Eli knows that his sons are corrupt, but Eli will not deal with them. never says anything to them. God reveals to Samuel that he's going to bring judgment against Eli's house for what his sons are doing. And he tells Samuel, not only am I going to bring judgment against Eli's house, but I'm going to bring judgment against his house and especially against his two sons, because though his sons have gone astray of me, Eli knew about it and did nothing about it. So chapter 4 is the culmination of all of that. But there's a special word, there's a certain word that I want to get to, but we got to read it to get to it. Look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines. They encamped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped at Aphek. The Philistines drew up in line against Israel, and when the battle spread, Israel was defeated before the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men on the field of battle. And when the people came to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh, that it may come among us and save us from the power of our enemies." So the people went to Shiloh and brought forth the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who is enthroned on the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. As soon as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel gave a mighty shout so that the earth sounded. Now watch this, watch this. Let me say something. The Ark of the Covenant was this real ornate box that God had made, and it represented the presence of God. So when they went into battle and they brought the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God, and it always brought them victory. Now, the thing about it is this. Every Israelite knew that the glory of God was key. Israel knew without the Ark of the Covenant, without the glory of God, we are nothing. Let me say this, and I want to make this real plain. No matter how educated you are, no matter how much money you make, no matter what you become in life, there should be nothing in your life more precious, more guarded, and more sacred than your relationship with God. And hear me when I say this. Your relationship with God is just like a garden. A healthy garden is not a garden that's ignored. A healthy garden is a garden that's always under maintenance. I'll even kick it to you even deeper. I work out with a group called Camp Gladiator. I mean, and I love it. I love the brutality of our workouts. I don't love it when I'm in it, but I love the results that it brings us. But let me tell you something. I was talking to one of the trainers one day, and one of the trainers told me, he said, "Byron," he said, "listen, people do not realize in order to have a strong body and a healthy physique, you can't do that in a month. You can't do that in 2 months." He said, the key to being strong is staying strong and living a life of diet and exercise and lifting, diet, exercise and lifting, and make that your lifestyle. He said, once that becomes your lifestyle, your body will stay healthy and fit, but you can't do it, then get off of it. And when he was saying that to me, my mind is going into a whole different direction. And I'm thinking spiritually. Let me tell you something. If your relationship with God is going to be strong and stay strong, and your connection to God, your intimacy with God stays intact, that's not something you do simply on a Sunday morning. That's not something you do because you're on a praise team or whatever ministry there is. That is a lifestyle decision that you make on a daily basis. And just like they knew, we need the glory of God. Just like they knew that going into battle, as we go into life, you got to know, listen, I want to be intimate with the Lord, rightly connected. And I'm going to tell you something. When we make decisions that don't honor him, it affects our connection with him. When we do things that are not pleasing to him, it affects our connection with him. When we enter into venues and do things that don't line up with his word and don't line up with his nature, that affects our connection with him. And let me say this. Let me say this. You all, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. I used to think this. I used to think that the most miserable people on earth are the people that don't know the Lord. And I've met tons of people who are nice, sweet, kind, don't know the Lord, and it seems like they are just happy, happy, happy. Not all of them, but a lot of them. But then I got to thinking one day, and I said this, I don't believe the most miserable people on the face of the earth are the people who don't know the Lord. I think the most miserable people on the earth are those who do know the Lord, but have somehow gotten away from the Lord. And they know who they should be. They know how they should be living. They know what God has called them to, yet they are living a life totally against that. That has got to be the greatest misery. And you all listen. You can never be too young to start to take your walk with God seriously. You know, I was the last high school that I worked at, I was talking to a girl. I haven't forgotten the scripture. I just want to tell you this. I was talking to a girl one time, and she was telling me how her parents always have taken her to church, and they raised her in church. And she said, you know, Officer Schaffner, I don't think anything is wrong with going to church, and I like going to church sometimes. She said, but you know, I really think living for God is for when you get older. She said, I think when you're young, you should have fun. You should sow your wild oats. You should get all of the whatever in you is out. And then later on, you come to the Lord. And I said, you know what? Everything you just said is a recipe for destruction. Because the foundation of your life starts in your youth. And one of the greatest things that Satan could ever deceive you into believing is that the days of your youth don't matter. That's not true. The days of your youth are the foundation of your life. And where you will stand later in life, a lot of times, is based on the decisions that you made in your youth. There's a friend of mine right now. We were in high school. He was part of an all-star football team. They were dominating on the field, but behind closed doors where no one else could see during the week, they were robbing stores. Dominating on the field, behind the scenes, robbing stores. We were seniors in high school, and several members of that team, they had scholarships to go to big universities, play major football, and I believe some of them would have gone to the pros. Another friend of mine who used to hang out with them, this one particular night, they kept asking him to go. He said, you know, he was right about to do it, but he said, Byron, something just told me, just chill, just don't go. He said, I didn't go. That night, all of those boys got caught. They lost their scholarships. Most of them went to jail, and that judge gave every one of them a hard time. The gym that I lift at, one of the guys who went to jail, he's out now, he lifts at that gym too. And one day we were talking, and he said, Byron, he said, you know what? I found the Lord, and I'm living for the Lord now. He said, but Byron, I knew God growing up. I even gave my life to God growing up. But I ignored God in high school. And he said, I had no idea that the decision that I made that night would affect the rest of my life. Godly decisions today preserve your life tomorrow. Obeying God in the present blesses your life later on. And so if my connection to God and my intimacy with God is priority in my life, I'm going to make sure that I don't do anything or allow anything to happen in my life that's going to interrupt that connection. And every day there are lots of people who choose the world over their connection with God. They choose popularity with men over their connection with God. And let me say this, and we're going to deal with this a little bit later as we go on in the weekend. But listen, there is no way you can be faithful to God if you're overly concerned about how other people see you. Because I guarantee you this, no matter how nice you are, no matter how kind you are, no matter how sweet you are, no matter how good of a person you are, if you are going to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, eventually the life that you live is going to clash with the culture around you. And it's all about our connection. There was a girl I was dating one time. She went to church just like me. She claimed Christ just like me. And back then, not that I'm not now, but back then I was young and I was excited about Christ and I was trying to grow spiritually. And I remember one night we were talking and this was the night our relationship ended. She said, "You know what, Byron?" She said, "You love God and I love God." She said, "But Byron, I think you love God a little bit too much." She said, "I know God just like you know God, but you're too extreme." And it wasn't that I was too extreme, but her idea of walking with God was being good on Sunday morning. But during the rest of the week, she wanted to do all this other crazy stuff. That wasn't me. I was actually trying to live for Christ. And so at that moment, I had a choice. Either I can be faithful to God and lose her, or I can compromise my walk with God just to stay with her. And I made the decision to let her go. And so many guys told me, "Man, you are a fool because she looks good." And I told him, I said, "Man," I said, "you know what? I said, I know she looks good and I know she's a good girl, but being good and godly are two different things. She didn't want the connection that I was trying to have with God. Some people want to follow God from a distance. I'm trying to follow in his footsteps." And the thing about it is this: yes, you may know Christ, but are you close to him? Yes, you may know him, but do you spend time with him? Yes, you know him, but is your heart really after him? Or is it just basic Sunday morning shallow stuff? And there are a lot of people, they go through the motions, just like Hophni and Phinehas. They go to church, but they live a different life behind closed doors. And you all, let me tell you something. If you don't hear anything else I say during this retreat, remember this. When I heard this, the first time I heard this, it harpooned me in the chest. Here's the quote: "Your private life is your real life before God. Your private life is your real life before God. Your private life is where your connection is or isn't with God." I want to finish this scripture because I'm getting somewhere and I want you to see this. Look at verse 6. "And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shouting, they said, 'Why does this great, what is this great shouting in the camp of the Hebrews mean?' And when they learned the Ark of the Covenant had come to the camp, the Philistines were afraid and they said, 'A God has come into the camp.' And they said, 'Woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us, who can deliver us from the power of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with every sort of plague in the wilderness. Take courage and be men, O Philistines, lest you become slaves to the Hebrews as they have been to you. Be men and fight.' So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and they fled, every man to his home. And there was a very great slaughter, for 30,000 foot soldiers of Israel fell." Verse 11 is very key. "And the ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died." Now it gets deep. Look at verse 12. Remember, I told you, Eli is the father of Hophni and Phinehas. Look at this.
A man of Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. When he arrived, Eli was sitting on his seat by the road watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told the news, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the sound of the outcry, he said, "What is this uproar?" Then the man hurried and came and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were set so that he could not see. And the man said to Eli, "I am he who has come from the battle. I fled from the battle today." And he said, "How did it go, my son?" He who brought the news answered and said, "Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has also been a great defeat among the people. Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God was captured." As soon as he mentioned the ark of God, Eli fell over backward from his seat by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died, for the man was old and heavy. He had judged Israel 40 years. Now, this is the sad part. Now, the daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant, about to give birth. And when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed and gave birth, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women attending her said, "Do not be afraid, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer or pay attention. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory of the Lord has departed from Israel, because the ark of God had been captured, and because her father-in-law and her husband were dead." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of the Lord has been captured." Let me say this. The word Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. You may remember the guy in the book of Judges by the name of Samson. Samson was an Israelite who had the vow of Nazarite. When an Israelite took the vow of a Nazarite, they took it for a short period of time. And during that time, they are mega faithful to God. Where when Samson was born, he was to be a Nazarite from birth to death, from the womb to the tomb. And the Bible says that the representation of God's strength was in his hair, and his hair was never to be cut. Well, Samson could not stop messing with women in the enemy's camp, Philistine women. And the Bible says that the woman that brought him down was a woman by the name of Delilah. And when he was with Delilah, he loved Delilah, but Delilah didn't love him. The lords of the Philistines paid Delilah to find out what Samson's weakness was. And she kept putting him through these tests. And Samson just kept just breaking out of whatever she put on him. And then finally she said, "Look, if you really love me, why won't you tell me the truth?" And the whole time she's playing Samson like a fiddle, because she's trying to really find out his weakness. And then finally he breaks down and he said, "Listen, a razor has never touched my head. And if you cut my hair, I'll become just like any other normal man." And the Bible says that she lulled him to sleep on her knees. And then when she cut his hair off, she started tormenting him and slapping him. She said, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you," because the Philistines burst in the room to get him. And then here's the sad part. The Bible says Samson jumped up to fight, just like he did in any other time. But he did not realize that the Lord had departed from him. They caught him. His hair was shaved. They stabbed out his eyes. And they put him in the bottom of a prison and had him grinding this stone and just walking around. But the good part was that his hair started to grow back. But my point is this: the Bible says he got up to fight and did not realize that the glory of the Lord had departed from him. You all, that's like jumping off the highest diving board and you not realizing there's no water in the pool. Samson got up to fight, and the strength that God gave him, the glory of God, had departed from his life. You all, listen, I work around a lot of people who say they're Christians, but you can tell something drastically has happened to their connection. I used to work with a man, married, a deacon in a church, but having an affair on his wife. Claimed to be Christian, but something had happened to his connection. There are many young people that I work with, that I've worked around since I've been in the school system, who go to church. Let me tell you something. The school that I came from, 90% of the kids that got in the deepest trouble will tell you that they are Christian kids who go to church on a regular basis. And while we're sitting here talking and we're talking about the decisions that they're making, and then all of a sudden somehow when I'm able to get the conversation to church and then from church to their walk with God, it's like, yeah, we got God over here, but God is just reserved for this part of my life. The rest belongs to me. When Christ came into your life, Christ didn't come to be the resident. He came to be the president of your life. So every area of your life, the Lord wants. And you all listen. What I want you to do this during this retreat, what I want you to do is to really ask yourself the question, am I really being faithful to God in my private life? Where do I stand with God? I know God loves me, but do I really love him? I know God is close to me, but am I close to him? I may be in relationship with God, but how is my fellowship? You know, one of the things that frustrates me the most about cell phones is when you're on a phone, and especially when you're in a car, Bluetooth drives me crazy sometimes, because when it works, it's wonderful. But when it acts up, it just makes you want to scratch yourself. But I hate when I'm talking on Bluetooth. I'm talking to my brother, and my brother's going into his job. And whenever my brother hits this one hallway, I hear him, but I don't hear him. I get bits and pieces of the conversation. And I finally just say, you know what? I don't know if you can hear me. Just call me back. And I just hang up, because it just frustrates me. But the thing about it is this. When we're talking on that phone, when he gets in that bad area, we're still in communication, but it's fractured communication. We're still talking, but our connection has been messed up. And sometimes he goes so deep down that hallway that eventually it cuts the connection completely. Is there anything in your life that is like that hallway that is messing up your connection with God? And I'm going to tell you this, and tonight's real light. It's not light, but it's just to get you thinking. It's just to get you thinking. You know, I remember one time I had stopped eating salt. I because I was real concerned about blood pressure and all this kind of stuff, and I was fine. But I had a friend of mine who had a triple bypass, and he was talking about all the stuff that he ate. So for a long time, I pulled away from salt. You all, the next time I had some Lay's potato chips, and I love Lay's. I was at a friend of mine's house, and he had just eaten a bowl of them. And I hadn't had any salt for like 2 months. And I just wanted one of them Lay's potato chips, and I got the big golden one. You all, when I bit into that chip, it's like my mouth exploded, because the salt was just that overwhelming. And my homeboy said, Byron, yeah, there's salt on here, but you act like it's just drenched in salt. And what it was this. I had stayed away from salt for so long, just the taste of a little bit of it. I was so sensitive that a little bit of it was just overwhelming to me. After I ate that one chip, I started back eating chips again. Not a lot, but every now and then. And then what was so overwhelming became like anything else. When you're walking with God and you're close to God and you're staying away from the things that are not of God, when you get into something or deal with something that's not of God, bam, it's shocking to your system. But if you ignore that and continue to go deeper in that, you become desensitized. And there are a lot of Christians who, though they are in Christ, they become desensitized to certain things of the world, and it's affected their connection. Tonight, as you go back to your dorms, as you do whatever you do at night, and as you, if you spend any quiet time tomorrow before the next session, I want you to really ask yourself these three things. Number one, am I in Christ? Have I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior? Have I given my life to the Lord? That's number one. Number two, if I am in Christ, honestly, and be honest with yourself, honestly, do I consider myself to be close to God or not? And whatever answer you give yourself, give the reason why. If I am in Christ, do I think that I'm close to the Lord? If whatever your answer is, say why. If I think I'm close to the Lord, why do I think that? If I'm not close to the Lord, why do I think that? And then number three, do your best to write down at least five things. If you don't have anything, I mean, that's great. You deserve a Pop-Tart. But listen, see if you can write down five things that are either hindering your walk with God or could possibly hinder your walk with God. Five things. And you'll be amazed at what God will show you. You know, I'm going to say this, then we're going to pray. But, you know, I'm real big into, I don't read comics like I used to because I'm just so busy. And one of my favorite comics I used to read was The Amazing Spider-Man. And Spider-Man was married to Mary Jane, his wife, in the comic. Let me tell you something. First of all, don't come to me trying to school me about comics, but and all you've done is seen the movies. Listen, movies tell half truth, comics tell whole truth, okay? Let's just, because it ticks me off when somebody has never seen any comic book movie, knows nothing about a comic book character, go see one movie, then they want to step to me like they're a guru. No, you know nothing. And then we just started just chopping them down. They go, ugh, we weren't getting in there. But I used to read Spider-Man, and when they changed writers, the writer that took over Spider-Man, he never liked the fact that Spider-Man was married, so he destroyed Spider-Man's marriage. I never read a Spider-Man comic after that. I used to read the X-Men. Boy, X-Men during the 90s, oh, that was the X-Men. I mean, I used to read the X-Men when they were a family, where they all lived in the mansion. But then as society changed in real life and families started disintegrating, they destroyed the family of the X-Men and made Dr. Xavier bad and Cyclops killed him and all this crazy stuff. So I really haven't read an X-Men comic. But I'm still real good with the figures. And what I love to do action figure photography. And that's why I asked you, was there any wooded areas around here? Because whenever I go speak somewhere, if it's in a wooded area, I always bring some figures because I'm always trying to take pictures and all this kind of stuff. Well, this year in January. Now, I'm not a person who fasts. I don't like to fast. I mean, and please don't think I'm not a spiritual Christian, but I will tell the Lord, fasting is something we're supposed to do, and I do fast from time to time, but I don't like fasting. And especially in January, at the beginning of the year, it seems like fasting is this Christian bandwagon that everybody jumps on, you know, and they don't do it anymore. But I was like, okay, so the Lord laid it on my heart that he wanted me to fast for the entire month of January. And I was like, okay, what should I fast? Because food is not a really issue for me. I eat because I have to. I eat so I can take my vitamins. I eat because when I work out, I need some fuel. But I'm not one of those people that just is in love with food. So, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, Lord, I'm going to give up food, and food is really not an issue for me. So I said, Lord, what is it that you would have me to give up during this whole month of January? And I sat there and prayed and just went about my business because I knew the Lord would tell me. The Lord laid two things on my heart. He said, during the entire month of January, you're not to buy any kind of collectible at all. During the month of January. And I said, you know, it's just a month. I mean, you know, that's what, 3 weeks? That's what I said. You all, I said, okay, I won't buy anything. Now, to mind you, every Sunday when I leave church, I stop by the Toys R Us in Louisville, and they know me, and I always just stop by. And sometimes I just don't buy anything. I just go to look to see what's there. You all, he said, for the whole month, don't do that. And then I was like, okay. And then the Lord laid something else on my heart, and I was like, now what? And I said, during the entire month of January, you were to take no photos at all. And I was like, okay, I can do this. You all, first week I was okay. You all, and I'm part of these collector sites on Facebook, and you know, when you're friends with people on Facebook, you don't have to go to their page, but whatever group you're part of, it comes up in your timeline. And I'm like, wait a minute, this one's supposed to come out to February, but it's out now? Can't do anything. And just all this stuff. And by the end of the month, I was talking with a friend of mine. He said, Byron, do you think the Lord is calling you from that? And I said, no, I don't. And I was like, but Lord, why would you have me to do this? And here's what the Lord laid on my heart. It's nothing wrong with you having other passions, but I have to make sure that your other passions don't compete with your ultimate passion. And even though I'm not calling you from this, I told you to do this for this whole month to let you know that if I did call you from it, you could do it. And sometimes God will call you away from good things for a while just to make sure that those good things are in right alignment with the ultimate thing. My mother just got a Facebook page. You in your 70s, what are you doing with a Facebook page? Well, some of our friends got it, and it just kills me. She will call me, Byron, what is like and tag, and mama, just get offline. But my mother used to think Facebook was like from the devil. I mean, she just did not, you know, she just hated anything online. And one time I was talking to her, and I was talking to her and I was talking to my youth at church, and I said, you know what? Nothing is wrong with Facebook. Nothing is wrong with Instagram. Nothing is wrong with Snapchat. Now, some of them filters where they got the flowers and stuff, yeah, that I can't stand that. You know, young people at church will do a selfie with me, and I'm thinking it's just a selfie, and I turn around and look, and I got on a doggy mouth and just silly stuff. But like I told them, Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and, you know, none of that stuff is wrong. But when that becomes your life and it consumes you to where it's competing with your time and your allegiance to God, that's when a good thing becomes a bad thing. Nothing's wrong with anime. Nothing is wrong with comics. Nothing's wrong with that stuff. Nothing's wrong with football. Nothing's wrong with sports. But when that stuff starts to compete with your ultimate relationship and your ultimate duty and your ultimate passion, which should be to God, that's when good things become bad things. This connection is first. Everything else is second. Jesus died on a cross. A cross is made out of a vertical and a horizontal beam. It's my vertical relationship with him that dictates how my horizontal life should go. Does that make sense? Well, y'all, we got the grease hot. And we just dropped a few pieces of fish. And we're going to let it fry later on this week. Let's pray. Father, tonight, you just kind of laid it out there. Our connection with you is everything. And I ask in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would help us to search our hearts. Search our hearts. We don't want to be like Samson, to think everything's okay when really it's not. And we surely don't want to be like what we read about in the book of Samuel. The word Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. God still loved Israel and he didn't leave Israel, but his glory, his favor had departed. Lord, we want your favor. And your favor in our lives, your favor is dependent on how we respond to you. The child that obeys gets certain favors that the child who disobeys doesn't get. And I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, in any way that we're lacking, any way that we may be missing the mark, even if we don't realize it, during this retreat, you will bring it to our attention. Reconnection. If we reconnect, that means at some point there was a disconnect. Show us where we really stand with you. In Jesus' name, amen.